There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 798, July 29th, 2019. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Max Uber Alles in Deutschland, marking quarter century of flaming performance for the Verstappen family, and Honda delivers a zinger. Now back to Rain Man of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, well, that was interesting. The Hulk was so close, yet no cigar. And what really happened to Mercedes on their 125th anniversary. My goodness, oh dear. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. Anyone who donates $100 or more gets a coffee mug and a F1 Weekly sticker. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Well, I'm in a bigger shock than the German Grand Prix. No mention of Le NASCAR in the intro.
Ah, Le NASCAR! So exciting, yet I didn't have time for Le NASCAR. I had to watch this race like four times because I couldn't believe how exciting it was. I hope Fernando was watching.
Well, you know, this was a Patsy Cline Grand Prix. Crazy! A Russian on the podium. Kubica in the points. Lance Stroll among the race leaders. Bottas and Leclerc in the barriers. Sebastian second from 20th. But wait, there's more. The biggest surprise was pole sitter. Walk in the park was expected for Lewis Hamilton. It turned into Central Park mugging. Finishing ahead of Robert Kubica and George Russell was definitely not in the Toto script and could not have been imagined in 125 years of motorsports heritage.
Unbelievable, but you're absolutely right. It should have been a walk in the park. Even with the rain, it should have been a walk in the park because we know LCH is quite capable. But things happened. Safety cars happened. Tire changes happened. There was no tire fire, but there was some interesting stuff going on. And, well, Mercedes screwed up.
Well, they sure did big time. This was their 2200 Formula One race, home soil, and they were all decked up in 50s uniform. And Toto had to put on another 250 pounds to look like Alfred Neubauer, but that's another story. And I think Kvyat said it best about the race. Race was like a horror movie with dark comedy, but it was very nice to see all the podium finishers happy. Normally, somebody is on the B&M program or looking moping or looking sad sack. And the race winner said, and I quote, "It was amazing to win. I made a nice 360. I enjoyed that. It was about trying to not make too many mistakes. You learn over the years. I'm very happy with the result." End of quote. And you know, Clark, I'm sure you remember we talked about this so many times. It was in the 1994 German Grand Prix here at Hockenheim Ring when we had that famous pit fire with the Benetton of his papa, Papito as you call it, Jos Verstappen. But Sunday, his Bambino was on fire, but his flames were burning out the competition. As that guy Roman used to say in the Citibank credit card ad, very, very, very rewarding. Did you get a charge from this race, amigo?
Sí, qué bueno. Yeah, this was the best race ever. This is how the season should have started.
Yeah, this has been one of the great races in many, many decades. You know, every now and then we get a great excitement like Schumacher and Hakkinen at Spa, Mansell and Senna many times. But this was over the top, man. This was, I'm going to watch it a few times this evening after we come out of the green room. And here is the best part, which I just saw after I sent you the MM. Honda Racing put out a tweet saying, he's done it again. That's GP2 victories in 2019. So quite a zinger from Tokyo. And that's what I call Señor Alonso, a nice serving of paella with some wasabi. How does that make you feel, two-time world champion and the host of the longest-running podcast, Mr. Rogers?
I think it's in bad taste and disgusting and wrong.
Bad taste and disgusting and wrong. And how about saying GP2 engine at Suzuka for somebody who's paying you $30 million a year? Was that in bueno taste?
He was just trying to give them a little motivation.
Yes. Yes. Okay, now we move on to what Kvyat had to say. And I quote, "It was amazing to be back on the podium. Incredible with Toro Rosso. To bring a podium back to the team is amazing. At some point, I thought the race was done, but it was incredible. A roller coaster, just like my career." Very, very nicely said, I have to say. Were you happy to see the torpedo on the launch pad of the podium?
It was exciting, but I told everybody, watch out.
Yeah, and Vettel, I mean, Sebastian Vettel, man, I mean, obviously so many pit stops and all that, but I was very happy for him, and this is what he had to say, and I quote, "It was a long race. At some stage, it felt never ending. It was very fun. It was tough with the conditions and tough to read what was the smartest move. Before the last safety car, it was straightforward. I was fast and could time it right." End of quote. So he almost made it up for his, total cupboard performance from last season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting that Leclerc did what Vettel did last year, and I felt terrible for him, but apparently a lot of people lost control of their car in that same spot.
Yes. Shall we take a look at Colli and before we get into nitty-gritty details of the Grand Prix?
Absolutely.
Okay. Beginning of the race weekend was not good for LCH. He was looking for Ricola and for Seb. Even the airflow to his turbocharger was going against him. For the preseason pace setter to start behind the Williams was as low as you can go. Before the turbo went kaput, his teammate Leclerc was looking most likely to challenge LCH for pole before he too had technical issues. But this was really, really bizarre for both Ferraris to have issues. Like we discussed some podcasts ago, looks like the biggest supporter for championship number 6 for LCH seems to be his main competitors. Lewis was suffering from some throat issue, that's what he said, but had no problem screaming ahead of the competition to take pole position number 87, which even got Toto Wolff on the radio to say to his numero uno, "You never stop to amaze us." After he was out in Q1, Sepp must have been singing a song that I like very much, "Send Me an Angel Right Now." Max on the front row for the 7th time in his still young F1 career, but still looking for his first pole position. The FDA-approved number 2 for both teams were on the second row, and the time difference between respective teammates, Clark, says it all and shows why certain drivers become love child of team principals and mechanics and engineers. Very impressive row 3 start for Kimi, and equally impressive was man next to him, who may be filling out UB40 form at the end of the season, and I am sure there will be no red wine at the unemployment office for him in Geneve. And that's right, I'm talking about Romain Grosjean. Both he and K-Mac took a lot of heat from Gunther Steiner after their let's get physical at Silverstone. The question remains, even after this race, will they ever learn? Row 4, Carlos Sainz for McLaren ahead of Sergio Perez of Racing Point. Row 5 was local driver Nico Hülkenberg and Leclerc. Sergio Perez and George Russell are 11-0 over their teammates and colleagues so far this season. Lance Stroll and Robert Kubica, respectively, of course. And for Lance Stroll, this was first Q2 appearance of the season, so Daddy's corporate dollars hard at work. Your thoughts on the collie and what you like, what you did not like?
I didn't like any of it. As soon as I saw that Ferrari had issues, I just, you know, once again, spaghetti culture, and with LCH on pole, I was ready to sleep through this entire Grand Prix.
Yeah, but there was, I mean, almost a certainty that there would be a lot of rain, or at least rain on Sunday. So I was expecting that regardless of who was on pole, that we're going to have harem scarem during the race, which happens, you know. Remember the wet and wild race in Malaysia some years ago when both the Ferraris went off?
Yeah.
So yeah, when you have these kind of conditions, these things happen.
See.
Okay. Now, one thing I really don't like in Formula One is these rolling starts. So it was good to see a standing start in the wet. I was expecting a first corner push and shove between Lewis and Max, but Max did not have a good start. He dropped to fourth behind Bottas and Kimi, and good to see Kimi racing for Sauber Alfa Romeo like it is 2001 when he made his debut with that team. Max got ahead of Kimi quickly, and on the same second lap, we had the first of many to come. Sergio Perez spinning into the German wall of voodoo. Lap 3 saw the first deployment of safety car, and all main players came into pits to put on intermediates. K-Mag and Lance Stroll stayed out. That put them, at least for the time being, second and fifth on the track, respectively. Lap 15, we had done blowed up for Daniel Ricciardo. Lap 24, Seb got his wish, and the team put him on slicks. Two laps later, Max came in and went out on mediums, and he spun shortly after that, but kept going. On lap 28, Charles Leclerc came in for slicks under VSC, following Lando Norris parking his McLaren with loss of power. And that was the beginning of the end for him being Charles Leclerc and Lewis, as Mercedes also brought in their numero uno and sent him out also on slicks. Charles was in the barrier soon, and you know, misery loves company. Lewis spun in the same corner. He avoided the red car, but did hit the barrier a little bit and had front wing damage. But then he made another mistake of not entering the pit as you're supposed to on the right side of the bollard. Apparently, Lewis was questioning his team when they called him in for slick tires. This time he did not go with his basic instinct like he did at Silverstone and paid the price. The following pit stop, where the crew was looking for tires and had shades of what you call spaghetti culture. Like you say, you know, he is lucky. Lucky even when he is losing. Teammate Bottas crashing out prevented him from closing the gap in the championship. And I think that when I saw Bottas crash, my instant reaction was, that's the decision that Toto Wolff needed for his second driver decision, you know, in August. Lewis did a 360 with less than 10 laps to go that put him in the company of Kubica and Russell. Lap 31, Mercedes called in Bottas to put him on intermediate tires, and this is all Max and Red Bull needed. GP2 engine was leading a Grand Prix again. And Toto was pounding his fist when the wingman clipped the barriers on lap 57, and lost a certain podium finish. I don't think Bottas had the pace to go and beat Max. What say you?
Absolutely not. He didn't have the testicles. And he made the mistake. It was all about no mistakes in this Grand Prix. And the mistakes were all over the map at Mercedes. And it's interesting, but we did have verification that Toto took Lewis and Bottas for an Italian meal the night before.
Yes, you know, I think that's what happened.
Yep.
Max has now won two of the last three races and also set the fastest lap. He has finished all 11 races in the top five. On the other side of the garage, Pierre Gasly has only two top five finishes. Late in the race on Sunday, he ran into the back of Alexander Albon's Toro Rosso. Not sure if Gasly is the only one to blame, but he was unable to finish the race. And as we all know, Dr. Marco has a keen eye for those who perform and those who don't. After a strong performance at Silverstone, Pierre has gone back to business as usual, and Dr. Marco's message to him is very simple. You gotta change your evil ways, baby. Man, I'll tell you, the driver who has really impressed, you know, Lando Norris, I expected him to do well because he has such a fantastic pedigree. You know, Daniel Ricciardo, I expect him to do very well when Renault gives him a car. But man, I was not expecting what Alexander Albon is delivering. Very, very impressive. What say you?
Very impressive. And Albon is definitely going to get promoted.
Yeah, I have a feeling that dishes are done for Pierre Gasly. They may send him back to Toro Rosso. But Alexander Albon, you know, he had already signed up for, he used to be in the Red Bull program. They kicked him out. And after doing GP2 or Formula 2 last year, he had signed a deal to drive for Dam's Formula E team. It was a signed, sealed, delivered contract. And then Dr. Marco had to pay a pretty penny for Dam's to release him. So this has really worked out. So it really shows, you know, there is a lot of talent in junior series, even if the driver does not meet Dr. Marco's requirements or win the Formula 2 championship in his first year. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I completely agree.
And Sebastian Vettel, second from dead last, was impressive. But this kind of performance is no surprise from a driver of his caliber when things are going, you know, his way. It reminded me of Schumacher's final race with Ferrari in Sao Paulo after he caught a tire in his battle with Fisico. Hard to believe. Now, this is really hard to believe. After 11 races, Scuderia Ferrari is still looking for win number one this season, while Red Bull has two wins with their GP2 engine. I mean, when will Ferrari win a race?
Next year.
Well, they are saying that Lewis has always done very well. And, you know, it's a Mickey Mouse track, so they don't have long straights like Monza. So I will not be surprised if Lewis wins there. But I am hoping that Ferrari could win a race. They have to win a race by Monza. I think after Hungary, Spa and the Monza track races are coming up. I mean, if they don't win a race by Monza, then, you know, it will be very difficult for them.
Very difficult.
Yeah. And the torpedo, Daniel Kvyat, he became a daddy before the race. You know, his wife's name is Kelly Piquet, and I'm not sure, but I will not be surprised if that's Nelson Piquet's daughter, because, you know, Nelson Piquet has like 5 kids from 3 different ladies. He was spreading the love. Now, most of the race, Kvyat was behind teammate Albon, and then the team decided to put Kvyat on slick tires, which helped him to share the podium with his buddy in second place. First podium finish for the Torpedo since 2016 Chinese Grand Prix, and the first for the team since the magical moment in Monza Park in 2008 with Sebastian Vettel. Wasn't that a great race and a great performance by Seb?
Absolutely. One of those great moments in life.
Yes, sir. Never to be forgotten. Now we come to Charles Leclerc, young man from the streets of Monte Carlo. He is managed by Nicolas Todd's All Road Management Company and has been part of Ferrari Driver Academy for many years. Made his F1 debut with Sauber last year, and after a shaky start, made a good enough impression to replace Kimi at Scuderia for this season. Had the Bahrain Grand Prix in the bag before technical issue robbed him of his maiden F1 win. At Hockenheim, he had his teammate's number in free practice and was looking good for a podium finish and possibly race victory when he went off. He was man enough to take full responsibility for his crash, but expressed concern, like some other drivers, of the surface of the drag strip that is next to the track. And according to Hulkenberg, who was also part of the Misery Loves Company club here, that surface is okay in dry condition, but turns into ice ring when it is wet. Now we come to Haas F1. Both cars were in the points. Grosjean 9th and K-Mac 10th, but once again they played Let's Get Physical. I wonder how long Gunther Steiner will keep his cool before going chop-chop on one of them. Based on performance and mileage in the future that the team can get, K-Mag looks more like a keeper. Plus, he also brings a decent amount of sponsorship in the pockets of Jack and Jones, a Danish clothing company. Now, this company is owned by a billionaire from Denmark whose kids were unfortunately killed in recent terrorist attack in Sri Lanka. So that was very sad. If Grosjean goes from Haas F1, Sergio Perez and Esteban Ocon are ready to knock on the door. Sergio will bring sack of pesos from Telmex, and Ocon has blessing and backing of Toto and Mercedes. But Bottas's crash in Germany may help Esteban become teammate to LCH in 2020. And I have to say this to him, he will be well advised to have a cup of cappuccino with fellow Francais and old karting rival Pierre Gasly before signing the contract to be teammate to Lewis Hamilton. Toto has said they will make a decision in August. It's looking very, very promising that Esteban Ocon will be back in the F1 orbit next year. Where do you think and where would you like to see him land?
Well, I think he will be at Mercedes next year as the number two. And he will be a good number two, and he will be texting Rubinho and the rest of the gang.
I think Bottas is a very solid number two. You know, I mean, sure, he made a mistake, but everybody was spinning. I think it will not be a bad idea to keep Bottas and maybe put Esteban at some other team, get him some experience before he can take on the challenge to dethrone Lewis Hamilton. Okay, now we come to Nico Hülkenberg. Now, you know, you probably heard that the next race is Hungarian Grand Prix is this coming weekend, and the Renault F1 truck was involved in an accident, went off track, off the road on the way to the Grand Prix. Good news is the driver is not seriously hurt, but looked like a pretty nasty accident. Have you seen pictures of that?
I have. The trailer is off the embankment or the on the other side of the guardrail, but the damage looks pretty limited.
Yeah, so is Maldonado the lorry driver?
How did you know?
Well, I mean, just by the photo, you know. But anyway, going back to Hülkenberg, what a drive he had till lap 41 of 64. It was looking a high possibility for his long-awaited first F1 podium. Many, many moons ago, I remember well his performance in a very wet A1GP race at Sepang. He was in a class of his own. I was hoping, what better place to earn your first F1 podium than home race? But then came turn 17. He was in the kitty litter, and of course his teammates suffered a done blowed up. So Nico was carrying the colors for Renault till he crashed. Which brings me to the motorsports mantra of the week. The late great Dan Gurney once said to me, we were talking about some drivers, and he said, racing is a funny business. Some drivers who should not succeed, succeed, and some drivers who should succeed, don't. And this is where I feel bad for Nico Hülkenberg. He won the Formula BMW Germany in his first attempt. Compadre Sebastian Vettel won in his second attempt. Nico was under Willy Weber management when he destroyed the competition in the Spec Series A1GP, then won the F3 Euro Series, and then took the GP2 championship in his first year in the series. Now he is holding his own against a very talented and highly paid teammate. I just hope Alain Prost can sprinkle some magic dust where Renault can return to their glory days of Mile 7 Blue, and we can see Hülkenberg get a podium and win some races. And also for Ricciardo's sake. And not the dark blue days when Prost raced for them with René Arnoux as teammate. And that was my motorsports mantra of the week. And he thought, you know, his contract is up at Renault, and there are some reports that he may go to Formula E. Some reports are saying he should stay at Renault. What's your take on his situation?
I would stay. I wouldn't choose to leave Renault. You know, just like Honda, Renault may make some progress next year. But Renault also has some financial issues with the Carlos Ghosn problem. That is, you know, he's now not part of the company, but he's still in jail. And the infighting between Renault and Nissan, they're having a bad year. Nissan's having a bad year. Renault's not selling cars like they did last year. And this could affect the Formula One team.
It will be sad to see them leave the sport.
Well, things aren't looking good at the factory.
Okay, now we come to Raikkonen and Giovinazzi. They crossed the line 7th and 8th respectively, giving Alfa Romeo their best result of the season. However, soon after the race, the steward summoned a team representative to discuss an alleged breach of Article 27.1 related to clutch torque application during race starts. And this is too much technical stuff in Formula One. So this means Romain Grosjean, and they got a 30-second penalty. So this promotes Romain Grosjean to 7th and Kevin Magnussen into 8th. World champions Lewis Hamilton scores 2 points in 9th. Otherwise, he was going to be not scoring any points, meaning he extends his point scoring streak to 23 races, while Kubica scores his first point since returning to F1 this season after an 8-year hiatus with 10th. You know what is really, really bad for Bottas? He had an awesome chance to claw back a lot of points by finishing this race and completely blew it. But, you know, I don't blame him. Everybody was making mistakes. Max, even the race winner spun, and everybody was having issues. It's just one of those things that happens. But it happened. I mean, if you are 30 points behind and you have a possibility of scoring 15, 18 points when your team championship leader has no chance of scoring points and you don't get that, it's pretty, pretty sad. What say you, amigo?
It's the saddest. That was the opportunity. That's the thing. That's the whole enchilada. When he needed to do something, he didn't.
And, you know, I said, I think, just when the season started or even before, that if Mercedes has the package, which they do, I mean, Lewis has 7 wins. He's going to have 10 plus wins. And I think Bottas will be lucky if he can come up to 4 wins. And that's going to look very, very bad.
It is indeed.
Shall we look at the championship standings now, sir?
Let me guess. Mercedes is winning.
And what about the driver?
Mercedes is winning.
You is a genius, Mr. Rogers. So here it is. LCH still leads with 223 points. Wingman Bottas remains second on 184. Max, making the most of every opportunity, is third on 162. Ferrari drivers complete the top 5, Seb on 141 points and Leclerc 120. Man, I cannot believe Max Verstappen has more points than 2 Ferrari drivers. This kid is some special, special talent, man. Very, very impressive. Now, in the Constructors' Championship, dishes are done for all, as Mercedes leads with 407, despite, well, at the time it was not scoring a point, but of course, Lewis got a few points. Prancing Horse is limping in second with 261. Red Bull is third with 217. McLaren is coming back, fourth in the championship with 70 points. Toro Rosso completes the top 5 with 42. And I think I'll have to double check on how many points Mercedes has, because I wrote this before the Sauber's got the penalties. So there you have it, sir. A fantastic race. I think this was one of the best races in a few decades, where it was just like complete excitement from beginning to the end. And just, I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So like I said earlier, Bernie was right. Maybe we should put sprinklers part of the track system, so whenever they come on, excitement.
You know, I got to tell you something. I was at the Indy Grand Prix once, and there was some sort of rain. I remember Raikkonen was leading. I believe it was Raikkonen. And it was one of those silver, him or Hakkinen. And man, when he would come around, there was so much spray you could not even see the second car. So I don't know if that's a good idea, but a fantastic Grosser Preis von Deutschland. I think it will remain the best race of the season this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Shall we go for some Nahreen Karthikeyan Gatorade and come back with MM Motorsports Mondial?
Thank you, Cucumber. We'll be back after these brief messages.
Hello, this is Christian Klien, and you listen to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Swami, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And before we take off from Hockenheim Ring helipad, some more information from the weekend. Mick Schumacher drove his Pepito's 2002 championship-winning Ferrari and said, and I quote, "It was great going out of the pit lane and coming back. I never lost a smile the whole time. Even when I was locking up, it was really cool." End of quote. Surprisingly, there were no Formula 2 and Formula 3 races as part of the German Grand Prix weekend, which was kind of strange. But I'm sure they have some reasons, and they probably relate to dollars and cents, as always. Now we come to IndyCars from Mid-Ohio. Scott Dixon edges out Ganassi teammate Felix Rosenquist for a thrilling finish to win the race. So win for GP2 engine on both sides of the pond. Very good. Indy Lights, both races of the weekend were won by Oliver Askew, who is from Jupiter, Florida, from pole position. He drives for Andretti Autosports and will soon be testing an Indy car. SQ now has a 45-point lead over second-place driver from the Netherlands, Rinus Wicke. Now we go to Japanese Formula 3. Enam Ahmed, friend of F1 Weekly, took his first pole position in the series this past weekend at Zugo Raceway and went on to win his second race of the season. He is now third in the championship, which is still led by French driver Sacha Fenestraz, who grew up in Argentina and is related to Jose Maria Lopez, also known as Pachito. Spa 24 Hours, man, I watched quite a bit of this race also. You know what I did, Mr. Rogers? On Friday night, on the east coast of the US of A, it's, you know, daytime in Japan. So Friday night, late Friday night, I watched the Japanese Formula 3 action. And then Saturday, they had also two races, which I watched, of course. And then Saturday, there was the start of the Spa 24 Hours. So I was just enjoying a lot of motorsports. And again, you know, we'll continue to do so till the season comes to an end. So going back to Spa 24 Hours, Porsche won two. Winning drivers were Kevin Estre, Richard Leeds, and Michael Christensen. And Michael Christensen is a young kid from Denmark. And at one time, he was going to be the K-Mag of his time, but then he was competing against, in Formula BMW, against Esteban Gutierrez. And Esteban Gutierrez ate everybody's lunch in that series. And now Mr. Rogers, you know, I was a big fan of, I don't know if you were, but I was a big fan of Johnny Carson's show, the late night show, and I think I never missed a show since I got to the country till he retired. Anyway, today's famous last words come from him. When the Fraulein was singing the German national anthem, it brought back memories of German unification and a joke Johnny had about the last thing holding up the unification process, and that was deciding on the new national anthem. According to him, there were two choices. One was, by the time I get to Poland, and the other was even better, I left my heart in Sudetenland. That's what I call the finest in Lincoln, Nebraska humor. Danke schön for listening. Choose, what say you?
You know, that's funny that you mentioned that, because when I was listening to the national anthem, when that young lady was singing it, I had similar thoughts about Deutschland über alles. It's bizarre, but I'm serious. And I was thinking, you know, they made a big fuss over all that, didn't they? They're very sensitive now.
Yes, and yeah, you know, when Sebastian Vettel called Daniel Kvyat torpedo and said, being as German as they come, my thought was, well, he should know all about torpedoes.
Das Boot?
Yeah. Jawohl, Herr Meister.
Jawohl, mein Herr. Was ist los?
Let me tell you, if you ever go to Munich, that is what they call the Deutsches Museum, and they have a U-boat there. That will bring back some memories for you.
I know my name is Clark, and I know Clark Gable was in Run Silent, Run Deep. That's my only association with the U-boat.
Yes.
Bravo, prego, mille grazie. So you ready for Hungary?
I am, sir. I cannot tell you how happy I am after watching this German Grand Prix. I mean, this is really the essence of motor racing, you know, hard racing. And, you know, one thing I have to say, looks like what happened in Canada with the brouhaha and the mayhem and all the stewarding backlash, looks like FIA stewards have learned a lesson.
I think you're right. They have learned a lesson, and they dialed it back, except for the penalty against Alfa Romeo from 70 milliseconds to 300 whatever. I mean, should we be measuring things like that?
Yeah, see, that's what I don't like. And but if you're going to have rules, you have to implement them. But I'm glad they're not saying, you know, oh, That was dangerous driving. Oh, they touch wheels, so 10 seconds penalty for everybody. These are racers. Let them race, and if there is a boneheaded move, then we can talk, you know?
Exactly. Now, don't you think it's unbelievable that after Silverstone, that Kevin Magnussen and Romain Grosjean were still banging wheels?
Yeah, I cannot believe these guys. And of course, being good race drivers, they blame each other. It is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I mean, it's gotten worse than Force India a couple of years ago. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. I mean, this is happening almost on a regular basis. Can you imagine how pissed off Gunther Steiner would have been had both of them dropped out again?
Oh my God. I think one of them would have been fired for sure. I think Gunther has the blue phone. It goes right to Oviedo.
Yes. I don't think Fernando is going to come to that team.
I know that, but I have to have dreams.
Yes. But you know, Clark Rogers, I got to tell you something. Yesterday, this race going on and all that kind of stuff. And like you, I also think of Nando every now and then, not 24/7. And I was thinking, you know, it is absolutely mind-blowing, a driver that put an end to Michael Schumacher's domination, not just domination, but winning championship. That talent is persona non grata at all the top teams. And I mean, if you put him in Red Bull Honda, he will win races. You put him in Mercedes, he's going to win a lot of races. He was winning races at Ferrari in a car that was not supposed to win. But it's amazing. I was thinking of a comment David Hobb used to make, that he has made of his career a chopped liver, just like nobody wants him, which is very, very sad. I mean, it will be fantastic to see this guy in a very competitive machinery and see what he can do, because he can still fight with Max and Lewis if he has, you know, the right package.
But you're right. Unfortunately, nobody wants him anymore.
Yeah, so let's see where he will go. Maybe Toyota wants him for Dakar Rally.
Nobody wants him. The bridges, when he turns around, all the bridges are on fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if the bridge is on fire, maybe he can go into powerboat racing. There he can drown some other manufacturer.
No, that's dangerous. Are you done?
Yes, I'm done. For the sake of your happiness, Mr. Rogers.
So in other words, if he's driving a Mercury and he's not happy, he's going to call it an Evinrude 2?
Exactly, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's so sad, isn't it?
It is. It's sad for the motorsports Formula One fraternity, that's for sure. But, you know, I'll tell you what I would like to do, and I've said this many, many times, especially this guy, Alexander Albon, has reaffirmed my faith in what I've been thinking for many years. Formula One should do what they do in NFL. A team that finishes dead last, they give him $5, $7, $8 million, and in return, they run the driver who won the GP2 championship. Because you have to give these young guys an opportunity. You know, some of them will take the bull by the horn and, you know, make it happen, and some are just going to turn into the next UJ Ide. But, you know, the F2 champion should be given a seat in Formula One for one season. And we're not talking two races. What say you?
I think that's a great idea, and I will talk to Bud Seeley about that.
Yes, okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nas. Keep up the good work. Once again, a quick prediction for Hungary?
Well, I think it'll be back to business as usual, LCH.
No, I don't think so. Not in Hungary. Strange things happen in Hungary.
Well, if there is rain, yeah. I'll tell you something. If there is a rain, I will be shocked if the winner is not Lewis, Max, or Seb. Seb is also very, very good in the rain. I mean, you remember the 2008 Brazilian Grand Prix. He almost cost Lewis his first championship.
And don't forget, Hülkenberg, Brazil.
Yeah. Well, Hülkenberg, you have to, if you ever get a chance, check his race. And I remember when I interviewed him, I told him I watched that race at the A1 GP from Sepang, and the performance level was like it was raining for everyone except him. This was an incredible performance, and he is very good. And look, he was going so good in Germany also.
Okay, Nass, keep up the good work. I want to thank everybody who listens to this. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.